Let's turn together to our text, which is John 19. John 19. Again, this is the third time that Jesus spoke from the cross, and this is more of a specific, context-specific teaching on the relationship between Jesus, his mother, his disciples, and the responsibility of a child towards their parents. So this is page 1051, John 19. We're going to start a reading at verse 23 and read down to verse 27. John 19 at verse 23. When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. Let's not tear it, they said to one another. Let's decide by lot who will get it. This happened that the scriptures might be fulfilled, which said, they divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. And Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby. He said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. And that's as far as reading in God's word. May he add his blessing and increase upon the preaching of that word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, what is our responsibility towards our parents? This morning you may have heard me pray in the congregational prayer, praying for those who are charged with caring for their aging parents. Now, normally when we think of responsibilities within the context of the home, we think of the responsibility of parents towards their children. Parents are the ones that provide for their children, that care for their children, that protect their children. And in society, they even identify situations when this is abnormal for a parent not to care for their child. Just last week, I saw in the news that there was a mother that abandoned her four-year-old daughter on the streets of New York City. And society as a whole sees that as corrupt. What kind of mother would abandon their own child, a four-year-old child, on the streets of New York City? But what about a responsibility towards a child toward their parents? What about elder neglect? We hear about child neglect, but what about elder neglect? Well, today we know that Jesus, in these words, we know that Jesus was perfect in all his ways. And in being perfect in all his ways, in keeping the commandments from childhood, we know that Jesus kept the fifth commandment, children, honor your father and your mother. Honor your father and your mother, for this is right. And with this commandment, there is a promise that it might go well with you. But how do you honor your father and your mother when you are no longer in the home, when you are no longer under the umbrella of your parents' care? Today we find that Jesus has multiple relationships, multiple levels of relationships. He is the Son. He is the only begotten Son of the Father. And yet he is also the Son of Mary. Jesus is not only going to be remembered by Mary, but Jesus is going to be remembered and served by millions. Not only does Jesus need to think about caring for his earthly mother, Mary, he needs to be thinking about how to care for all his people. So today we see this theme that Jesus Christ takes care of his family even in his death. Jesus Christ takes care of his family even in his death. And our text is found in verse 26 and 27. In our first point, then, we consider who is it that Jesus is taking care of? Who is this family that Jesus is providing for? If Jesus takes care of his family in death, who are the ones that he is caring for? Well, now we know that Jesus did have an earthly family. He was born of the Virgin Mary. Jesus was the biological child of Mary, the Virgin Mary. From the womb of Mary, his mother, the body of Jesus was formed, and Joseph was called his father, his adopted father. But we also know that Mary did not remain a virgin. Mary was a virgin when Jesus was conceived and born. But Jesus had other brothers and sisters who were the children of Mary and Joseph. Listen to these words from Mark 6, verse 3. Is this not the carpenter's son, reference to Jesus, the son of Mary and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters also here with us? So Jesus had at least four younger brothers and at least two younger sisters, the children of Mary and Joseph. And while Jesus was hanging on the cross, he is identified as Mary's son. That's what verse 25 makes clear. This Mary was his mother. Again, the humanity of Jesus Christ is at front and center in this text. Mary is by the foot of the cross watching her firstborn son as he slowly bleeds to death and is asphyxiated on the cross. We cannot imagine what that would be like, seeing your child suffer and die in a way like this. And Simeon foretold this at the very beginning of Jesus' life. Simeon said to Mary, "A sword will pierce your heart." Mary is being cut. She's being pierced as she watches her son die. So Jesus had an earthly family. But does Jesus put a premium, a priority on his biological family? Does Jesus show a favoritism to those who are his blood relatives? Does he think first and foremost of his earthly family? While never denying that Mary was his mother, he did in fact challenge his family's preconceived notions about the relationship between Mary and her son, Jesus. We read this earlier in Matthew 12. Being the biological family does not mean that Mary and Joseph and Mary and Joseph's other children, Jesus' step siblings, they did not have greater access or privileged or blessings from Jesus Christ. So in Matthew 12, that's when Mary and Jesus' brothers were outside. They wanted to speak to Jesus. We read this earlier. The brothers and mother of Jesus are demanding that Jesus come out and stop what he is doing. Stop this reckless behavior. Come back. This was kind of a family intervention. Jesus was going to be rebuked, and Mary was going to almost hinder the work of Jesus Christ. Stop this reckless path that you are on. Then Jesus speaks those rather striking words in Matthew 12. Who are my brothers? Who is my mother? It's not those standing outside calling for a meeting. It's those who do the will of my Father. Here Jesus is rebuking his earthly family for their failure to understand the role, the ministry of Jesus Christ, and for their attempted hindrance of his work. Jesus is saying that there is a deeper bond, a deeper connection, a stronger tie that even trumps blood. It's an old saying, and perhaps you've heard it, that blood is thicker than water. What that saying means is that the ties of a family, blood ties, are the strongest earthly link. But Jesus is turning that thinking on his head. He's saying it's not your blood ties to me that make a difference. It's your spiritual connection. It's your union, your submission to the Father's will. Being a member in the kingdom of God makes you closer, having a greater, more intimate connection with Jesus Christ than even being a biological mother or sibling. To say this another way, Jesus, in our reading from Matthew 12, is putting on display the rights and privileges of being a member of God's family. He is identifying the blessings of being adopted sons and daughters of God. Being the adopted sons and daughters of God means that you have a heavenly Father, a glorious brother, a welcome into a kingdom and a family, and his work of saving his family, his spiritual family, is so important that he will not stop his ministry. No matter what his biological family might say. So in Matthew 12, Jesus is not going to stop teaching. He's not going to stop preaching. He's not going to stop healing. He's not going to stray from this path that is leading him to Jerusalem, even if his own mother and brothers rebuke him. He has in mind the well-being of his spiritual family. And even here on the cross in John 19, Jesus looks down from the cross, sees his mother, knows the need of his mother, as we're going to see in our next point, but he will not forsake his primary calling. He will not come off of the cross in order to help his earthly biological mother because the needs of his spiritual family would be put at risk. He will not come off the cross because in his remaining on the cross, he is providing for his family. He is submitting to the will of his Father in glory and purchasing our salvation. It's in his staying on the cross. His dying for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. It's in that way that he secures the salvation, the eternal well-being of his family. And that family is you, and that family is me. That's why Jesus stayed on the cross. That's why Jesus did not listen to the suggestion of those family members in Matthew 12. Because they were not thinking. They were not seeing the matter properly. The application is clear. Knowing Jesus' commitment to his family, his commitment to saving his brothers and sisters, moves us to appreciation, to gratitude, and to thanksgiving. We should rejoice and be glad in the commitment of Jesus Christ. That Mary's and Jesus' brothers didn't have a special status in the kingdom above, and that even applies to the Jewish people as a whole. Galatians 3, verse 28, in Christ there is neither Jew nor Gentile. Being members in the family of God means that we have an equal footing now with the Jews of old. By faith, we are Abraham's children. Being a biological Jew does not give you a special in or a shortcut to heaven. There is only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. No family, no biological family or earthly nation has greater access to the Father than you and I have by faith. So the first lesson we learn is this, that we learn to behold our Savior. We learn to see the commitment of Jesus Christ, who will not stray to the right or to the left. Even as he had to say to Peter, "Get behind me, Peter. You are not thinking, you are not seeing what is at play here." Peter tried to rebuke Jesus, tried to stop Jesus from laying down his life to save Peter himself. But Jesus is fully committed, and that means he will stay on the cross until his work is finished. Well, now that we have established that Jesus' earthly family could not hinder his salvific work, that even the presence of his mother standing at the foot of the cross, his compassion for his mother would not cause Jesus to stop his work of saving his family. That does not mean, however, that he had no regard for the well-being of his biological family, nor does he completely forsake his own mother. No, not at all. Although he does mildly rebuke his mother and brothers in Matthew 12, Jesus lived a life of submission. Way back in Luke 2, verse 51, when Jesus Christ, young child, young boy, submitted to his mother and father. He submitted to his earthly parents. He honored his earthly parents throughout his life. He was perfect in obeying the fifth commandment at all times and in all places. And that applies even here on the cross. Even though Jesus will not lay down his work, will not come off the cross in order to provide for his mother, he does not forsake his mother and neglect her well-being. And here we need to know a little bit of a historical context. At this point in history, Joseph, Jesus' adopted father, Mary's husband, was dead. So Mary, in all likelihood, was a mother to Jesus and a widow, somewhere in her late 40s. At this particular time in history, a widow did not have access to government programs, Social Security, Roth, IRA. There is none of that in the society as a whole. The only way a widow would be provided for was either to be provided for by her family or at living at the mercy of others' generosity. A widow woman could not normally do the physical labor that was necessary to provide for her source of income. She was often left without defense, could be taken advantage of. And in order to prevent that from taking place, it was the eldest son's responsibility to provide for a widowed mother. So it was Jesus' responsibility to take care of Mary. And at that time, the oldest son took care of aging parents. In this setting, Jesus was supposed to take care of Mary, but Jesus is dying. He's laying down his life. He needed to stay on the cross. So who will take care of his mother? Who will take care of Mary? We know that Jesus had at least four younger brothers. Why didn't Jesus call up one of his younger brothers, send a letter saying, "Hey, I'm going to die. Why don't you take care of Mary?" There's four to choose from at least. We have to remember the context. In John 7, verse 5, we find that Jesus' earthly brothers did not believe in him. Jesus' earthly brothers did not believe in him. They thought Jesus was a liar. He was proud. He was insane. They rejected their older brother Jesus. And Mary, having placed her faith in Jesus, her son, was probably an outcast from her family. Now, we do know in history, long after Jesus Christ rises from the dead, his earthly brothers do end up placing their faith and hope and trust in Jesus Christ. But at this point, his earthly brothers are nowhere to be found, likely rejecting their own mother for her allegiance to Jesus Christ. So as Jesus looks around, his brothers are nowhere to be found, nowhere to help. Rather, he turns to John. Now we know quite a bit about the Apostle John. Our passage here says that is the beloved disciple. That's the person who actually wrote this book, the Apostle John. We know a lot about John. John was the disciple that stuck around. John is still present. John is still here. Jesus would often recline, resting on John, his beloved friend. John was in that close, intimate group that had heard some of the most important prayers that Jesus had to offer. Seeing Jesus in his humility and in his exaltation. John was likely well-to-do. He owned his own fishing company with his brother. He had a home in Jerusalem and in Galilee. And the Apostle John would be later known for his great compassion. And John is still here. The shepherd was struck. The disciples had scattered. But John and Peter followed at a distance for a time. But now where's Peter? Peter himself has run off. He is weeping for his sin and denying Jesus Christ. But John is still here. John is committed. John, the beloved disciple, is still present, proving the fact that there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And in asking John to take care of his mother, Jesus is not only asking a close friend and companion, he's also asking one of his disciples, one of his followers, to care for his mother. To put it in today's context, it would be like the church being tasked to take care of widows. And I want to read a short passage from 1 Timothy 5. Here, speaking to the responsibility of the church in regard to widows. This is 1 Timothy. I'd like to turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy 5. Just a few verses there. 1 Timothy 5 at verse 1. Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a woman has children or grandchildren, these should learn first to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. The widow who is really in need and left all alone and puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and ask God for help, give to women like this the support that is necessary, support of the church. And that's what we find with Mary. She fits the qualifications of a woman who has been left alone. Her eldest son is dying. She is committed to Christ. But there is no earthly mechanism to take care of this widow, so Jesus Christ is committing the well-being of this believing widow to the church. John, his beloved disciple. So Jesus Christ, even on the cross, even suffering hellish agony, does not forsake his mother. Yes, it was necessary for him to remain on the cross to endure in order to secure the salvation of his spiritual family, but he does not neglect and forsake his biological mother. A believing widow is not left all alone. She is cared for. So one of the last things that Jesus does in his earthly life, and this is instructive, one of the last things that Jesus does in his earthly life before he says it is finished and breathes his last is to look down from the cross and to provide a place, a context of care and provision for his earthly mother. From this we can learn and apply to us, honoring your father and your mother is not something, not a commandment that expires as soon as you leave the home. Jesus was in his 30s, and yet he still thinks of how to care for his mother. The commandment to honor your father and mother is one that changes with time, to be sure, but the calling to honor your earthly parents is particularly important when your parents become old, perhaps weary, forgetful, fragile. We're called to honor them, to hold them in high regard because of the position that God has placed them in over us. God has given it to us, parents. And when we honor them, we recognize that we have a responsibility to them. It is a sad state that we see in our society today. How many elders, older people, fathers and mothers, are not neglected, forsaken, forgotten, cast aside by their own flesh and blood? Scripture says that if you don't take care of your own family, you're worse than a heathen. It's a lesson that many members of our church are now learning. Though I've spoken to many of you over the past few months, and there are many here that are learning the lesson of what it means to be a child that honors their father and mother as their father and mother grow and age. It's not always easy, but it's what we're called to do. We read this in 1 Timothy 5, verse 4, by showing godliness to your own household, you are making some return to your own parents. And this is pleasing to God. When you take care of your aging parents, you are repaying them, you are honoring them. Your parents took care of you when you were young, just as little baby Jesus was embraced by the arms of Mary, his mother. Mary, who provided for Jesus, cared for Jesus, fed Jesus, changed his diapers, taught him how to walk, how to speak. And now at the end of Jesus' life, Jesus is returning the favor, honoring his mother by providing for her a home. So Jesus says to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Woman, it's a way of changing how the relationship would be seen. Jesus does not refer to Mary as his mother. Perhaps it would have been crushing for Mary to hear those words from her son on the cross. But in any event, it is indicating that there is a change taking place. "Don't cling to me, Mary. No longer see me as just your son." And he says to John, "Behold your mother. Take Mary into your home. Care for her as you would your own mother." And so in this way, Jesus honors the fifth commandment and he ends his life by caring for his family, caring for his spiritual family by staying on the cross, staying the course, and caring for his earthly mother by providing a home for her. to conclude, understanding the family dynamics helps us understand why Jesus did and said what he did. It's comforting to know that Jesus Christ, although caring and compassionate towards his own earthly family, would not allow his familial responsibility to hinder his work. He still, to this day, cares for his family by providing and saving us from our sins. He cared for his spiritual family. He cared for us by staying on the cross. It's important to remember the responsibilities of the family. But it's always in its proper place. Because Jesus himself said, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. You cannot love your earthly biological family more than you love Jesus Christ. Jesus teaches us that. But it's because we love Jesus that we'll love those whom Jesus places in our lives. We will learn to love and honor, support and respect our earthly families just as Jesus did. All human love has to be placed in submission to our love for God. It's only in that way, in loving God first and foremost with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that we will learn how to love and how to honor our earthly families. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, and it's challenging for us to see the relationship and how that relationship was challenged, was pressed and strained. As Jesus was hanging on the cross, he still loved his church, he loved his people, and he would not forsake them, he would not give up on them. Yet he remained hanging until the cup of wrath was drained to the last drop. We thank you that Jesus also loved and cared for his earthly mother. We pray that you would help us as earthly sons and daughters to honor our mothers and fathers, to care for those whom you have placed in our lives as we acknowledge that we love you first and foremost with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.